Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, PhD, History from the College of William and Mary. Today's date. Oh, yeah. Time is flying, isn't it? It is January 18th, 2011. Washington, D.C., the United States, planet Earth. Third planet from the sun, and you just heard Everything But the Girls, One Place, one of my all-time favorite songs. Yeah, happy to be home. All right, let's get right down to it. Barack Obama, yeah, you know I was going to talk about him, and here we are. Some good news. And some bad news. Well, the good news is Barack Obama's hosting a fine, lavish dinner for the Chinese, who are seeking to devalue the U.S. dollar, pretty much destroy our country, and take over, if they could. And that's the bad news. While Barack Obama is bowing down, scraping before the Chinese at this very moment, probably engaged in such a deep bow, one would think that he was performing fellatio on the Chinese visitor. Barack Obama is known for bowing down, deep bows to foreign potentates and dictators and the like. And then, no doubt he bowed down deep tonight. Once again, embarrassing most of the United States of America in the process. But the good news is we have reached a milestone in America. More than half of all states now suing to escape Obamacare. Let's hope that more states join in and overwhelm the Justice Department, and let's send this over to the Supreme Court and find out what they think about it. Obama has yet to pack the court with liberals, and so we may have a decision sometime within the next year or so. But with all these states, all 26. Heritage says there's 27. Well, that's still more than half the country seeking a permanent escape hatch It's called waiver mania. So many companies and corporations now are asking for waivers to Obama's health care plan. One wonders how, in the end, if this monstrosity and abomination is allowed to stand, well, one wonders if there'll be any way to actually fund it. And could it be that Obama has a plan for that too? So that if this plan doesn't work, that he will sign an executive order perhaps and go to a single-payer system, not while our current Congress is in session. So there's an attack on Obamacare on two fronts. The United States Congress, God bless each and every one of them, and the 26 or 27 states who have now joined the fight against this job-killing, people-killing, granny-to-the-death-chamber-killing health care legislation. One more piece of the Obama puzzle toward a socialist utopia. I'm reminded of a saying from a movie that I watched a few years back, and I still have it here. It's called I can't even think of the name of the movie. Well, the villain in the movie says to the hero, when everyone is special, no one will be. And that phrase has stuck with me for a very long time. One wonders, I think the movie was The Incredibles or something along those lines. I know that Samuel L. Jackson was one of the heroes in the movie, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good animated movie. I think it was The Incredibles. Well, the villain says when everyone's, because he wanted to be special, he wanted to be a superhero, and he was not so nicely rebuffed by the lead hero of the movie, and so he took upon himself to impose his form of payback by making everyone the same, by providing everyone with his weapons and gadgets. And his idea, once again, was that if everyone had special abilities, then no one would have special abilities. And I think that's a good metaphor for what President Obama is seeking to impose on America. He wants us all to be the same. No doubt at some point we'll all be wearing gray and walking around like mindless drones. Has anyone seen the movie Equilibrium, where starring my favorite actor, Christian Bale, where everyone is the same and there are no emotions? In fact, there is a drug that is provided, and everyone in the movie is supposed to take this drug, and you're required to. And if you miss your dose of the drug, then you could very well be put to death through burning. And in the movie, there's no art. There's nothing that will attach you to anything emotional, because it was deemed by the leader that if one possessed anything that would inspire emotion, then that emotion was what was the cause of so much war and strife and violence in the world. So this drug was manufactured to stifle emotion and feeling. And there was, of course, a resistance. And the resistance wanted to, sought to take hold of and hide various treasures like art, the Mona Lisa, and, you know, things of that type. And they resisted taking the drug that would cause them to be, for better or worse, emotionless. Well, it's a really great movie, and it's a really good metaphor for what we are seeing here today when you have the vast majority of the news media suggesting that we should not speak our minds, that by saying what you think or saying what you feel could have consequences that would cause one to commit acts of violence, that emotion was the enemy, that words are the enemy. And so what we've experienced this last week was just that, a precursor to what, or an example of what that movie Equilibrium speaks to. So one wonders. Now, the movie came out in 2002, and it's entitled Equilibrium. And once again, in the movie, it's in a fascist future where all forms of feeling are illegal. And our guy, our hero, Christian Bale, decides he wants to change all that. And he rises up and helps to overthrow this fascist regime. It is a wonderful movie. I highly recommend it. And I'm just going to give you the storyline, the full storyline of the movie, because if you watch the movie, you'll really get an idea of what I believe is coming in the near future. With all this talk about stifling what we say, suppressing what we think and what we feel, and basically not there being folks out there in the media and elsewhere being thought police. In the future, in a futuristic world, a strict regime has eliminated war by suppressing emotions. Books, art, and music are strictly forbidden. And feeling is a crime punishable by death. Cleric John Preston, Christian Bale, is a top-ranking government agent responsible for destroying those who resist the rules. When he misses a dose of prosium, a mind-altering drug that hinders emotion, Preston, who has been trained to enforce the strict laws of the new regime, suddenly becomes the only person capable of overthrowing it. So check it out. It's a pretty good movie, and it speaks to, chillingly, to almost everything that's happening today. You see, at the end of World War III, the world fell under the control of Father and the Tetragrammaton, a government that outlaws all forms of art and emotion. Citizens are forced to take drugs that eliminate emotions. However, sense offenders, quote, sense offenders, end quote, citizens who resist laws and operate underground are continually at war with the Tetragrammaton. John Preston is a cleric, an elite super soldier whose mission is to hunt down and eliminate sense offenders with the help of a ruthless police force. Sounds familiar? Does it sound even remotely familiar? For when, think back to the campaign trail at the very end, when Barack Obama knew that he had won, he stated that we've got to have a civilian national security force just as powerful and just as well funded as our military. Now, couple that statement with what's been happening in the media over the last week regarding the Arizona shooting, and you get the sense that a time is coming where we'll not be able to say what we think or what we feel for fear of ridicule at the very least and imprisonment at the worst. Remember when flight attendants were stewardesses and janitors were janitors? Gloria Steinem, once headed the National Organization for Women. When women were with child or with pregnant, she refused to use those terms. A woman was not pregnant. She was parasitically repressed. So we're changing drastically. Every single day, a form of political correctness gone mad is being forced upon us. All day. Every day. So, let's move on to our signature topic. Totalitarian thugs love China. They love its authoritarian government and absolute political power. One such thug is the climatologist James Hansen of NASA. Hansen thinks America needs to adopt Chinese authoritarianism in order to force climate change down the throats of the American people. This is courtesy of PrisonPlanet.com and Kurt Nemo. Now, here's my thinking on this. What some of these oddballs, I think what they don't figure into the equation when they believe these things or they think that certain things like this should actually happen is that what does Hansen, Mr. James Hansen, think that the United States military will be doing while this is all going on? What does he think the American people will do while all this is going on? Sometimes I think that people like James R. Hansen, who would like to see Chinese authoritarianism in America, I think he believes that America is really just a group of sheep who will lie down for that sort of thing. That we don't have true warriors and patriots who would stand up to that sort of thing. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. America is not China. America is unlike any country ever created, ever put together. We are hardwired for freedom like no other country. And I think a lot of these people simply don't understand. I remember watching or hearing about Bill Maher saying that during the healthcare debate that Obama should just quit talking and simply impose martial law and, quote, drag them to it, end quote. And I think that Bill Maher doesn't fully understand the American people. Is he American at all? Because does he not know that America will not stand for any such thing? Or does he believe that Americans will simply go along with whatever we're told? That, and if we didn't, that Obama could use, say, the military to enforce his dictates. Would Obama believe, or does anyone believe, that everyone in the United States military would simply go along with an authoritarian regime here in the United States? That the military is filled with drones and mindless automatons who will just do what the president says or what the Congress says? Or maybe does Obama know that the United States military would probably oppose him or oppose any government that would seek to impose Chinese authoritarianism on the United States or any other type of authoritarianism? So could that be why he had or has a desire to create a, quote, civilian national security force, end quote, just as powerful and just as well funded as the United States military? Those are his actual words. Why would he need that? So here's what James E. Hansen had to say about this. He said, "I have the impression that Chinese leadership takes a long view, perhaps because of the long history of their culture. In contrast to the West, with its short election cycles," writes Hansen. "At the same time, China has the capacity to implement policy decisions rapidly. The leaders seem to seek the best technical information and do not brand as a hoax that which is inconvenient." Huh. "Because the U.S. government has not imposed draconian climate change measures on the people, Hansen insists a boycott is in order." He goes on to say, "After agreement with other nations, e.g. the European Union, China, and these nations could impose rising internal carbon fees," he writes, "existing rules of the World Trade Organization would allow collection of a rising border duty on products from all nations that do not have an equivalent internal carbon fee tax." Is this guy an American? James Hansen, head of the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. According to Hansen, we have two choices: either carbon fascism or a forced descent into third world misery. The United States then would be forced to make a choice. It could either address its fossil fuel addiction or accept continual descent into second and third rate economic well-being. That's what he said. That's his writing. He wrote that. Has this guy ever heard of the Gang of Four? Or our cultural revolution, which killed those who were inconvenient? Or the Great Leap Forward, which used the technical information to determine that a steel mill in every backyard was a good idea? Huh. Or how about Mao? whose estimate number of killed vary, but it is generally agreed to be well over 40 million. Some say Mao killed over 70 million. Mao conducted bloody rule and herbal purges, killing millions. The so-called Great Leap Forward resulted in the deaths of between 20 and over 40 million people, while the Cultural Revolution killed off an additional 7 or so million. More than a million died when China took over Tibet. China's authoritarian government routinely imprisoned people for speaking out against the government. It is called the Ligonia prison system. The Chinese government states that forced labor is a means toward the goal of thought reform. In China, thought reform or thought control is considered the optimum goal. I hearken back to the movie Equilibrium. It is a political and spiritual submissiveness often achieved through violence. And it is the absolute envy of totalitarian thugs around the whole wide world. Ligonia system also engages in widespread organ harvesting. That ghoulish practice is part of the Chinese economic system and integral to its political system. In 1984, China implemented a provisional regulation on the use of executed prisoners' corpses and organs. Chinese officials admit that by 1996, around 20,000 kidneys had already been harvested from executed prisoners. But none of this seems to bother James Hansen. It's possible he would support stealing organs for climate denial prisoners, or from climate denial prisoners. Is he for an American version of the Ligonia for climate change thought criminals? James Hansen should be promptly removed from his position as head of the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. The House representatives will resume business this week, and part of that business will be working to repeal Obamacare. In addition to rolling back Obama's totalitarian health care, the House should think about also getting rid of James Hansen and possibly sending him over to China for a while. He is the enemy of this republic, in my view, and needs to be removed from his government position immediately. And no doubt, if we had President George Bush, President Ronald Reagan, he would have been gone before the echo of his words faded. But not here. Not under this regime. So while Obama cozies up with the Chinese tonight, a lavish state dinner paid for by you and me, we have Mr. Hansen advocating that our government be overthrown and that we adopt Chinese authoritarianism. Like Tiananmen Square? Like what happened there? Interesting. Why does this guy still have a job? Is this the hope and change you voted for? Would you like to see the United States of America become a Chinese satellite country, like Mr. Hansen does, all in the name of, quote, climate change, end quote? I don't know, but where I am, I'm freezing. I thought this place was supposed to get a lot hotter. Now, more than half of all states now suing to escape Obamacare. You might call it a clear mandate for change. Today, another six states joined the legal battle to overthrow the federal Obamacare mandate, pushing the total number to 26 or 27. That's more than half the country seeking a permanent escape hatch. Six states joined the lawsuit in Florida against President Obama's health care overhaul on Tuesday, meaning more than half the country is challenging the law. The announcement was made as House members in Washington, led by Republicans, debated whether to repeal the law. The six additional states, all with Republican Attorney General, joined Florida and 19 others in legal action. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi said, "It sends a strong message that more than half of the states consider the health care law unconstitutional and are willing to fight it in court," she said in a statement. The states claim the health care law is unconstitutional and violates people's rights by forcing them to buy health insurance by 2014 or face penalties. And most of those, quote, penalties, end quote, are clouded in mystery. Will it be a fine? Will it be some other legal option imposed, or what will the fine or the penalties be? Once again, I hearken back to the movie starring my favorite actor, Christian Bale, Equilibrium. Check it out this weekend. See if there are any parallels between this current administration and a movie. Just like there are odd parallels between the television series V and this current administration. Meanwhile, the Obama administration is appealing its loss in Virginia. And I'm glad to see at least one Republican refusing to, quote, tone it down, end quote. Here's GOP Representative Louis Gothmer blasting HHS waiver favoritism. Gothmer, who brought a copy of the health care law with him to the event, made some jabs, accusing the administration of crony capitalism through granting of health care waivers. If you're a friend of the administration, you get a waiver, and it will cut your costs dramatically, Gothmer said. If you're not a friend, you don't get the waiver. You won't compete with the friends of Obama. You'll go out of business. Government shouldn't have that kind of power. Crony capitalism has got to stop. That's Representative Louis Gothmer, GOP Republican. Interesting. On January 18th, 2011, one of my good friends said, "But remember, the Republicans who are trying or attempting to repeal this bill are the bad guys. They're trying to take stuff away from us that we already don't want. The audacity." Another friend of mine wrote, "I'm very disappointed that Tennessee has not joined the lawsuit. We have replaced mid-quotes Phil with Republican Bill Haslam. So maybe that will change. We have had Obamacare for years here in Tennessee under TennCare, and it is bankrupting the state as predicted. Some more piling on we don't need." How interesting is that? Where you have a system that is clearly bankrupting states that are already under dire financial consequences. And it doesn't seem to matter at all, does it? Guess who's coming to dinner? Michelle Malkin's column. The Taiwanese animators have already previewed the visit. But as you're probably aware, President Obama will host a completely unsolicited state dinner for China's President Hu Jintao tonight. Or rather, tomorrow night. Feeling snubbed slightly even when he visited 5 years ago, Chinese President Hu Jintao is getting a do-over. Plus, the White House state dinner he sought back then was denied. Wednesday's opulent black tie affair with President Barack Obama, the grandest of White House soirees, will mark the first such event in China's honor in 13 years and could help smooth tensions between the world's two largest economies. Some big questions remain. Who's going to cook? Will that hideously ugly, nearly fat First Lady Michelle Obama, will she throw down with some Oriental fare? Can the White House avoid mistakes like the ones that marred the reception when a protocol-conscious Hui arrived for an April 2006 summit? Can they avoid protocol mistakes? Maybe. The official ceremony signifying the end of the state dinner will consist of a server wearing white gloves bringing President Obama the check on a gold-plated serving tray. Timothy Geithner will commence recommending raising the debt ceiling, and Joe Biden will then ceremoniously borrow the money from who to cover the bill. The Chinese president will later travel to Chicago and meet Mayor Daley, who is also expected to be introduced to some of the city's voters. No word yet at which cemetery. The state dinner guest list includes bankers, lawyers, and politicians. Pardon the redundancy. But guess who definitely won't be coming to dinner? Members of Congress are also focusing on China's human rights record. Several members are hosting a press conference that includes two leaders from the Tiananmen Square crackdown, two who have spent nearly 19 years in Chinese labor camps. And this is what my former topics, what he was hoping that America would come to. Isn't it all very interesting? Newsflash. President Obama has discovered that government mandates hurt job creation. Now, the regulator-in-chief has launched a systematic review of federal regulations to hunt down and slay, mitigate all those economy-damaging bureaucratic rules, from child labor laws to Clean Air Act, or to our most recent structures against hidden fees and penalties by credit card companies. We have from time to time embraced common sense rules of the road that strengthen our economy without unduly interfering with the pursuit of progress and the growth of our economy. Over the past 2 years, the goal of my administration, this is President Obama's writings, by the way, I forgot to mention that. Over the past 2 years, the goal of my administration has been to strike the right balance. And today, I am signing an executive order that makes clear that this is the operating principle of our government. Oh, what a bunch of crap. So while Sherlock Holmes of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue sleuths around in search of the right balance that they've skewed catastrophically over the last 2 years, the mother of all job creation stifling regulations, Obamacare, awaits appeal. Balance my ass. Okay? That is absurd. Barack Obama is attempting to once again pull the eyes of the American people in an effort to swing some independents back in his direction for his 2012 electoral campaign. He wants another term to screw things up even more. But we're not going to let it happen. Huh. It's not going to happen. Not on America's watch. It seems that the tide is changing in favor of a new day. And I'm loving it. I'm loving every minute of it. Former Arizona judge, or former judge to Arizona sheriff, shut up before you do any more damage to the prosecution's case. Amen. Lord have mercy. Thank goodness somebody's telling this guy to keep his mouth shut. Are you kidding me? This guy's supposed to be a lawman. What the hell is going on? Well, Representative Lewis Gothmert, that's his name. Republican from Texas, a former prosecutor and judge, and a current member of the House Judiciary Committee, is offering some advice to Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who has gained national attention since Saturday for his suggestions that radio and television talk shows were somehow responsible for the shooting attack in Tucson that took the lives of 6 people and wounded 14 others, including Representative Gabriel Giffords. Says Representative Gothmert to the sheriff, shut up before you do any more damage to the prosecution's case. And those are in quotes. At the Capitol on Wednesday, Gothmert told CNN News, as far as advice for the sheriff, you know, he's an elected official. He's an American. He's not prohibited by law from making the ridiculous statements that he has that do more to help the defendant than they do anyone else, including the victims. And so I know, as a former prosecutor, my advice to the sheriff would be to shut up before you do any more damage to the prosecution's case. That's what the representative from Texas said. Quit helping the defendant, sheriff, Gothmert said. But if he wants to help the defendant, he's elected by the local people, and he's free to help the defendant with their defense, if that's what he chooses to do. And then the people can decide in the next election if that's the kind of sheriff they want. My advice to him, if I were his prosecutor, stop destroying our case while we're still trying to investigate. And further, if you do some more investigation, as much as you've been running off at the mouth, we're going to have an airtight case. Wow. Finally, somebody's telling this guy to shut his mouth. What an idiot. These folks are shameless, and they are coming out of the woodwork. My God. Also on Monday, January 10, my birthday, by the way, Dupnik told ABC News and I quote, "The kind of rhetoric that flows from people like Rush Limbaugh, in my judgment, he is irresponsible, uses partial information, sometimes wrong information, attacks people, angers them against government, angers them against elected officials, and that kind of behavior, in my opinion, is not without consequences. And I think he's irresponsible." Think he's got a hard-on for Rush Limbaugh right about now? Clearly, the young man who perpetrated these horrible crimes was completely and utterly unhinged. So, and was a Bush hater, according to many of his friends. Never watched the news. Didn't listen to talk radio. But somehow, when an idiot goes around shooting people and winds up nearly gravely wounding a congresswoman who just happens to be middle of the road, not even overtly liberal. She was once a Republican and is very, very middle of the road. Even though she voted for Obamacare, she appears to be a Democrat in name only. Other than voting for Obamacare, she has voted with Republicans more than she's voted with Democrats. But that doesn't stop the media from blaming talk radio and GOP political pundits and elected officials. So, when Dupnik was asked by ABC's Diane Sawyer, wow, he's really making the rounds, a little-known sheriff who spent some of his time running his mouth on MSNBC every now and then. Well, now he's all the rage. He's a celebrity now. Talk show after talk show. I wonder if he's getting paid for that. So when asked by ABC's Diane Sawyer if it was right to link that kind of rhetoric to the shooting, Dupnik said, and I quote, "Of course." Dupnik responded, "What I have read and seen more indication of where that apparently this guy hated the flag, loved Karl Marx and Hitler's Mein Kampf, and had been an atheist. So obviously, if there's been talk show people who have inflamed him, it may be people the sheriff listens to, but it's certainly not Sarah Palin or Rush Limbaugh or people that the sheriff kept trying to point to. And you know, during my days as a judge, you start noticing when people like that stand up and start accusing without any evidence. Normally you have to start on, okay, this guy's got something to hide." This is what Gottmer said. Gottmer continued, "There's something underneath here for a law enforcement official to immediately come out without any evidence whatsoever. And in fact, evidence being to the contrary of what he's saying, he must have something to hide. We need to look into that. You know, what did he know before this all happened? Was this lashing out coming from a guilty conscience? He knew things that he should have acted on. That would have saved lives?" That was a question. Regardless of the shooting in Tucson, Gottmer also said he is concerned that people are talking about restricting political discourse and free speech, i.e. the movie starring Christian Bale, Equilibrium. What concerns is when people start talking about putting a lid on debate and disputes and discussions, even when they're a bit heated, i.e. stifling emotion and free thought and free expression. He said, because one of the things that made America great is the differences of opinion, which a lot on the right are attempting to stifle. Opinion. Which is why Representative Clyburn and a lot of other liberal Democrats want to bring back the fairness doctrine. Because radio shows like Air America failed so desperately to capture an audience, went into bankruptcy not once, not twice, but three times before it finally drifted off into the radio graveyard. It failed to garner an audience. Virtually no one listened. Had to be bailed out several times before it faded away. And shows like Sean Hannity's, Rush Limbaugh's, Glenn Beck's flourish with millions and millions and millions of listeners every single day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes on the weekends. So Gottmir went on to say, because one of the things that America great is the differences of opinion. Unless one of us has a 100% lock, 100% of the time, on God's truth, then we ought to listen to each other. Debate's a good thing. And I'm ending the quote from Representative Gothmer. Gothmer continued, though, it's what the founders wanted when they created not one body, but two bodies. And that wasn't to create the kind of gridlock they hoped for. They created a president that would be elected from another manner, not like a prime minister. And they created a judicial branch that could also veto them. They wanted some gridlock because they didn't want it to be too easy to make laws. They wanted disagreement. So, and that's a quote from Gothmer. Before being elected to Congress in 2004, Gothmer served as a state district judge in Texas and then a state appellate court judge. Wow. Very, very powerful words here. And I want to go ahead and play the clip so you'll be able to hear what he has to say from his own perspective. Oh. Well, I'm not sure we're going to be able to have
Arizona
that. Arizona
Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk has said that he believes that the attack of the weekend was somehow inspired by the political discourse in America, specifically radio talk show hosts and American politicians. Have you seen any hard evidence of a link between the shooter and an American talk show host or American politician?
Oh, what I have read and seen more indications of were that apparently this guy hated the flag, loved Karl Marx and Mein Kampf, and may have been an atheist. So obviously, if there have been talk show people who have inflamed him, it may be people that the sheriff listens to, but it's certainly not Sarah Palin or Rush Limbaugh or people that the sheriff kept trying to point to. And, you know, during my days as a judge, you start noticing when people like that stand up and start accusing without any evidence other people. Normally you have to start going, okay, this guy's got something to hide. There's something underneath here for a law enforcement official to immediately come out without any evidence whatsoever, and in fact, evidence being to the contrary of what he's saying, must have something to hide. We need to look into that. What did he know before this all happened? Is this lashing out coming from a guilty conscience? He knew things that he should have acted on that would have saved lives. And understand, I don't blame the sheriff for the shooter. The shooter, he's responsible. That's where the blame lies. But I just have noticed from human nature, when somebody comes out lashing out that strongly without any evidence to support what he's saying, it's like the old thing, if you point the finger at me, you got four pointing back at you. And so it makes me wonder what the sheriff has to hide. Why would he come out without any evidence and accuse people of such something so heinous as to causing the death of a 9-year-old and the shooting of our friend Gabby? So I think we've got some looking to do.
What do you say to people like the sheriff and members of Congress, even, who have said that the alleged heated or violent political rhetoric is somehow needs to be addressed because of the tragedy?
Well, what concerns me is when people start talking about putting a lid on debate and disputes and discussions, even when they're a bit heated, because one of the things that's made America great is the differences of opinion. Unless one of us has 100% lock 100% of the time on God's truth, then we ought to listen to each other.
Hear, hear. So I tend to agree. Of course I agree. But why does the left want to stifle debate and free expression and free speech? Is it because they know and feel and can see and sense that they are losing the arguments here bit by bit, point by point, day by day? Much like the radio show or the radio network Air America had no audience to support it, I believe now liberals are finding that they have virtually no audience, or at least very few. They're beginning to understand that they are losing the battle for the hearts and minds of the American people, and in fact, no, they have lost the battle for the hearts and minds of the American people. We see it every single day when we look at the ratings for CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC. All pale, ratings pale in comparison to one network, one news network, Fox News. In almost every demographic, Fox News beats out all other news networks combined daily and in every category. Is there any more evidence that the left has lost America? Hey, I thank you for listening and downloading my Blog Talk Radio Caster. However you get the message, I wish you a wonderful night and a great day tomorrow. And once again, thank you. I'm Dr. C. Robert Jones, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.